are about to hear a life-changing message preached at the Qadesh Family Church in Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. In this Sunday's message, Reverend Lindsay preaches about the importance of your soul and the soul of others. The soul is a part of you that will never die and keeps on living. In James 2:26, it says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without deeds dead." So it is very important to ensure that your soul and the soul of others is spent in eternity with God. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this powerful word as you learn how to secure your soul's destiny.
Just smile and tell me, well done, good and faithful. done good and faithful servant, yeah.
Hallelujah. Wow. Amen. Amen. Good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. How many of us will meet that call? Help us, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So as we prepare our hearts, I'm telling you, our hearts have been preparing through praise, through worship, and you all have been looking all week, I'm sure, for this very moment. Those of us that are here in the studio live, I'm telling you, we're having an awesome time. But listen, all week we've been preparing our hearts and our mind, and today we are here, we are ready to receive the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want us to get ready to stand to our feet, and we're going to welcome with a song, with a smile, with happiness, our very own pastor, our father, our shepherd, Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
Those who know your name, put their trust in you.
There is no other
faithful God, so loving and true.
Those who dance,
those who know your name,
put their
trust in you.
There is no other.
So loving and true. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love His name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
No other name means more to me. How I love.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
How I love.
Oh, how I love His name so sweet.
Oh,
oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
No other name means more to me. Put your hands together for Jesus Christ. What a blessing. What an honor to be in church. Wow, I see several people in church on this side and on that side. Put your hands together for Jesus. Tell somebody, church is open now. You don't have to make a television out of church anymore. Hallelujah. That's our church. They sweep, Papa. All right. So I want you all to be invited. Don't be restricted anymore. If that's what you can do, that's fine because of kids and things. But I just want you to know you don't have to be restricted. Amen. Church is open. So be around. Just make sure you come. We have the sanitizer. We have the social distancing. We have the masks. Although those of us who are vaccinated, we are not supposed to be, right? But anyway, in church, you have to wear it. Clap for the Lord Jesus. If you've either been vaccinated or you've had the infection, you have a different story. But for the sake of the weaker brethren, we wear it, right? Clap for the Lord Jesus. I don't know whether you're one of those who got the infection, but somebody said, we survived it in Jesus' name. Glory to Jesus. God will deliver you from every evil in Jesus' name. You know, Jesus Christ had prayed for you and I already in John chapter 17, verse 15. John chapter 17, verse 15. He said, not that I don't pray that you be out of this world, but that I pray not that you should be taken out of the world. Nothing will take you out prematurely, but rather that you should be kept from the evil of this world. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That was one of his last prayers. He said, Lord, I pray that they will not be killed out, taken out from the world, this world. Yeah. If there's a threat to kick you out. Oh, no. I pray for you that you will live and that you will be kept from the evil pandemic in Jesus' name. Amen. Pandemic will come and go, but you will stay serving the Lord. Tell somebody, I shall not die, but I shall live to declare the works of the Lord. Where is that scripture? Psalm 118, verse 17. In Jesus' name. Father, we bless you. And we begin to thank God for life, for the gift of life. Thank God for the gift of life. and for the grace of living. It's not everybody who has life who can live it. There are people, they have life, but they are restricted to the hospital. They have life, but they are restricted to the bed. They have life, but they are paralyzed from neck down. So it's not enough to have life. Thank God for the grace to live. Thank God for the grace to keep going. The gift of life and the grace to live. We bless your name. Oh Lord, we are clapping and praising you. Because our life is in your hand. You are the keeper of Israel. The Bible says, he that keepeth Israel, watches over Israel, will never slumber nor sleep. ADT went off the last time with a thunder. But in the thunder and in the storms, God was still with us. Put your hands together again for Jesus. Father, thank you. We come before your word. Speak into our lives. Holy Spirit, help us. Anoint us. Use us for your glory. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who's this young girl? You look great. You may please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I look younger than that young girl anyway. Yeah. It's so beautiful. Pastor Danny, I think you should be sitting here with us. Amen. Beautiful. Benu. I miss you.
8 hours.
Hallelujah. Wonderful. Who's sitting there? And who's sitting here? Somebody should occupy. They should occupy them. All right. So move forward. Move forward. Yes. Caden, move forward. Beautiful. Yeah. Take it. Keep it. We're going to be using it for communion. Caden is coming to sit there. Beautiful. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today we want to continue where we started off. You know, let me explain to you something about living and life. Psalm 3 and verse 5. The Bible says, I lay me down and I slept. And I awaked. By the time I realized, I was awake. Why? For the Lord sustained me. Give me the amplified version of this scripture. You will be amazed. Uh-huh. And give me even the message. Let me see the message and the good. Wow. And give me the new living. It says, in safety. Kept me in safety. Watch this. New living. New living translation. It says, I lay down and slept. Yet I woke up in safety. Wow. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. Hallelujah. All of you, when you sleep, you are totally helpless. You are as good as dead. Did you know that? Even mosquitoes can bite you and you don't even have the power to slap them off. Yeah. Cockroaches walk over you freely. Those of you who sleep with your mouth open, some cockroaches have gone there eating some food, come out, and you are still asleep. Yeah. The food that were there. Yet you woke up in safety. Because the Lord was watching over you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. You know, one of my friends, he fell asleep. And he woke up. When he woke up, all his money had been taken. He had a gun under his pillow. It has also been stolen. Everything was gone. Yeah. He had a gun under your pillow. It was... Everything was gone. Money in his pocket had been taken. You didn't feel it. I don't want to tell you what the thieves did. In case there's a thief here who's looking for a strategy. Yeah. They just put him to sleep quietly. Chemicalized him. Yeah. You see, the Bible says that I slept. Woke up in safety. You see, it is, there are two different things. You wake up in safety, it means that some people could have killed you, they didn't kill you. They stole your gun, They stole your money. They even stole your clothes. They could have still stolen your wife. They stole everything, but they kept your life. You were in safety. Yeah. God told the people, that Satan, you can take everything that Job has, but don't touch his life. That's safety. And he replaced everything that was given. That, my friend, people send money to him. Me, myself, I even send money. It has been replenished like Job because God kept him safe. Now, apart from that, bring that new King James says, and I woke, the Lord kept me safe. That is safety from the outside. And the next thing is, and the Lord sustained me. Clap for the Lord Jesus. There's a difference between safety, where everything is safe, they don't steal anything, they didn't kill. But to be sustained, it means that thieves didn't have to come there. There are people who are sleeping and then boom, a stroke. You get a point. Boom, heart attack. So to be sustained, it means the air kept going, the heart kept beating, the blood vessels kept working. Ah, my goodness. Your muscles kept being perfused. He kept us, number one, he's safe. Number two, sustained. I don't take it for granted at all. When I wake up, a lot of things have been going on. Yesterday, I was so tired. Nobody knew. So tired, I could not even open my eyes. My wife had to really pray. The first I saw my wife praying about my health. Yeah. Because I went to the room. She was praying and then kept saying, praying and organizing tea for me. Praying and organizing. Are you okay? Are you going to be okay? And I had preaching to do. She just kept me food, kept praying and things. Sustained me. She said, do you want to take some medicine? Do you want to take... I looked at the whole thing. So I came and lied down. I said, I could not preach this, but I had a preaching engagement to the Lee World Movement. And they were waiting globally. How can I say, no, Pastor Richard came there. They came, give me, they, I'm sure that if I was in the hospital, they would said, give him some infusion. Hallelujah. But immediately I came and stood behind the pulpit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's revival came upon me. Yeah. And then in the evening, I realized the tiredness. I was tired, just needed to rest. So I just went. And I, when I woke up, I was as good as a newborn baby. Clap for the Lord. I paid nothing for that sustenance. The Lord will sustain you. The Lord will keep you strong, will revitalize you. He will renew your youth like the eagle. And just today I can jump high. If it wasn't for this, I would have jumped high to the glory of God. Hallelujah. So all these things, I'm sure if I had gone to some fuel pump to pump some new life, fuel life, they would have charged me a lot of money just to give you new life. Even gas is not easy to fill the tank. But the Lord, I paid nothing for refill. He will pay, you need to pay nothing. All you need is your faithfulness towards God. Glory to Jesus. My brothers, there are some seats here you can come and fill for the people who are coming new to join this. So fill up this side, please. William and your brothers and sisters. Yes. Hallelujah. Well, today I want to continue sharing from where we left off the last time. Last week we shared about the Good Samaritan, right? He's a good, good shepherd. Hallelujah. Now, this week we want to talk. We're talking about our soul, about life, after that, about salvation. We're talking about your soul, you know, how. What has happened to you in this salvation, and therefore why you need to make sure that this salvation does not end with you. Benu, you used to be a big soul winner. May you continue in Jesus' name. Since you had children and you had marriages and money. Say amen. Why not? There's nothing wrong with having money. Just don't let money have you. That's all. You have money. May you have money in Jesus' name. May you control money in Jesus' name. May money never be able to control you. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Have money. Yeah. Money can't have you. Money will never have you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we talked about the Good Samaritan. And this week we want to talk about another aspect of looking at how your life is. Hallelujah. And that, can I get one of these books, How to Preach Salvation? Good. I'm preaching from this book, How to Preach Salvation. Hallelujah. Chapter number 16. I want us to open to chapter number 16. I don't know why I can't open it. Sweetie, can you take this and open it for me? Chapter number 16. All right. We're talking about, if you have yours, open as well to chapter 16, and I'll share a few things there with you. Why your soul is important. Why your soul is important. Tell somebody, my soul is important. Just erase it and start all over again. Yeah. Why your soul is important. Now, the Bible says in Mark chapter 8, and I want us to read from verse number 32, okay, to 37, Mark chapter 8. And he spake that saying and took Peter, began to, okay, next, verse 33. But when he turned about and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest the things that be of God, but the things that be of, savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Keep going. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said to them, whosoever shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Okay, listen carefully. He said, whoever comes after me, let him deny himself. Okay, let him, thank you, take up his cross and follow me. You know, everything that Jesus did, he was expecting that he'll be the example to you. That is why he named us Christians like Christ. Always remember that if your life is not patterned after Jesus Christ, chances are that you are not living a Christian life. You are not living a Christ-like life. Or a Christ-like life. Christianity means like Christ. Christ-like. You see, belonging to Christ, okay? The citizenry. If you say American, the American, you are the American type, the American citizenry. America is in your blood. America is your nature. America is your citizens, your identity, okay? You are that. That is where you belong, all right? Yeah, doctor, is that okay? Dr. Love? Good. So, let him deny. So, what that means is, now, let him deny. When I was a Ghanaian, before I came to the United States, and because I was, my job and things, they offered, okay, you know, you've been educated, well, this is, do you want to become an American, and this thing. I said, well, let me think about it. Look, don't mind Lady Pastor. She says, yeah, right. I thought about it for just 2 minutes. Pastor Daniel, he didn't think about it at all. He just said, give it to me. I've been looking for it all along. Anyway, but you know, once they gave me the American citizenship, in fact, before then, what they said was that you have to deny your Ghanaian citizenship. Do you know that as far as America is concerned, you have only one citizen? But we all know that we are dual citizens. Don't tell the Americans, okay? I still have my Ghana passport. Amen. Now, let's talk about the pure form of American. You are not allowed to have two citizenships, okay? You are supposed to, if you decide to take on the American citizenship, you have to now give up all other citizenships. Yeah, yeah, you have to. Whatever you were, forget it. We don't recognize, what's that? Let them go. We don't recognize anything. You are not a Pasadena, is not a Nigerian, he's an American. Yeah, fully. Do you get the point? As far as America things is concerned. So you have to deny your previous name. It's just like getting married. You have to deny, as a woman, your previous name and take on the name of the person who is marrying you, now decides to take care of you, now decides to give you children, now decides that, look, your name shall be my name. I will take care of you. I'll take care of everything. That is how Christianity is. It says, whoever will come after me, let him first deny himself and take up the mark of Christianity, which is the cross. And now you can follow me as a Christian. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now you can be a citizen of Christ properly. That's how it is. Let's be real. So, but some have behaved like the way Pastor Daniel has behaved. He has kept his Nigerian passport. He has also kept his American passport. When he goes to America, he said, I'm American. When he goes to Nigeria, he says, I'm Nigerian. That's what he has done. Don't tell anybody. Not. That's not a good thing. Now, Christianity has become almost like Danielity. Amen. Now, I mean, we all know that that's how people do it, including Lady Pastor, not me. Anyway, but that is not supposed to be the way it should be. I'm telling you something. I'm happy that I have this example. That is how we have made Christianity. We have hidden the unbeliever side. We have kept it. Once in a while, we go. When it's an advantage, you go for the unbeliever passport. Then when you come to church, you put on the Christian passport. Then you tell the whole world, including Christ, that I'm still a Christian. I've denied my unbeliever status. I don't have a passport. Nothing is hidden. I said I'm with you, and I'm with you all through. But it's not true. Yeah. You have actually told yourself, as for this Nigerian, I will never stop being a Nigerian. I cannot, will not, shall not. Yeah. Some of us, we were born unbelievers. You have become born again, naturalized everything. You have kept your unbeliever status intact, strong but hidden. Yeah. Instead of denying it. Do you get the point? It is not a good thing at all. Is everything okay? Oh. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, in the citizenship of America and Nigeria and Ghana and things, it is okay because they are aware, but they don't feel that there's nothing, anything wrong. They know, but they just, for formality, they accept that. Thank you. You know? However, it cannot be done that way in Christianity. You see, you can hide from TSA and from security, Homeland Security and all these things. They don't have internal eyes. You cannot hide from God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, is that what it is? The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding the good and the evil. Yeah. Okay. So today I'm going to talk to you about something that you should not deny. You should not behave. Remember the citizenship of Pastor Daniel and of Lady Pastor. Uh-huh. And try and let yours be like mine, the pure one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying is that try and let your Christianity be pure. Take on the citizenship of Christ and deny and erase and forgo the past, your unbeliever status. The devil's citizenship should not be hanging around you. It can only harm you. It can only harm you. It can only harm you. Jesus said, if anybody will come after me, let them deny themselves. Take up their cross, and then you can follow me. Say it again. Say, I am coming after Jesus. I have denied my unbeliever status. Do you know your unbeliever status is your natural you? He said, deny yourself how you came naturally. The natural way, how you are, the way you are, no, has to go. The way you are has to go. If the way you are, Dr. Love, the way you are, if it doesn't go, pornography will be continued. It's true. It's true. Because that's just the nature. How you are, no? Yeah. If the way I am, I don't change, I'll be beating Sister Ariel. God forbid. No, that's the natural human being. Yeah. Strike in anger. Strike in anger. Sometimes not in anger, just strike. Because you are drunk. Because you are drunk. You're a striker. Do you get the point? The way we are, if we bring it here, my iPad will never last. Because by the time they finish, Barry or Esther has finished praise and worship, and as it's almost as a pay, they grab this, they say, I didn't take it. We have to, God forbid, we have to deny ourselves. If we keep ourselves, when you come with your wife, you have to try and tie your wife to your side. Because by the time they leave, you may be having a baby that's not yours. The way we are, you have to deny it. Shami, it will not be nice to marry you if you remain the way you are. You have to deny, let go. You don't belong here anymore. You have to. Deny, take up your cross. The cross means now you have killed yourself. Yeah, cross. This old body is dead. And take up your cross and follow me. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20. Yeah, Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ now lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith only. Who loved me and gave himself. He denied and gave up himself for me. Look, I've had to do that. This born again thing, I've had to be born again and be born again and be born again. And because when I get born again, I realized that no. Like Lisa. Yeah, she had to get born again a lot of times. Even last week, she got born again. By the blood. So, I just want you to know, all because there's something called your soul. Why? Because your soul is important to be maintained that way. All right? So, let's bring that scripture up again. Deny yourself and follow me. Take up your cross. I mean, if you have to come after me, deny yourself. One, take up your cross, crucifixion, and follow me. Amen. Then, go on. Yes, brother? Keep going from the Mark 8, please. From the Mark 8, verse 34. That's where we were, right? Mark 8, 34. You can go to 35 now. Good. Uh-huh. For whosoever shall save his life, if you shall save your Ghanaian passport, shall save your Trinidadian passport, you shall save your Nigerian passport. Your identity shows who you are. It shows your nature. What gave birth to you? Your citizenship. Your citizenship. If you will save it, you will lose it. You will lose out. The real life, you lose out on it. Anybody who saves your old life, you will never have this new life. You will never have it. You will lose it. You will lose it. You will lose it. I'm telling you, you will lose it. There was one day they were about to deport me because I had taken those two passports, but I didn't know that the other passport had expired. So, well, here we don't accept this. This is expired. You have been juggling with these two so much. Now, when it came to the cracks where you needed one more than the other, the one you thought was saving you will not work, and it had expired. Yeah, it happened to you too? Good. You know what I did? I was standing there. I said, oh, no, this. Then we were checking the other man, checking this. By the time he was so busy with this, and I sneaked through and I went away. Clap for the Lord. I don't know. Don't clap for the Lord. It was a bad thing. Don't clap because this is not good. I came to tell my wife I escaped by the skin of my teeth. Hey! Well, you can't escape Jesus. He has eyes everywhere. I'm sure the man was looking. I was gone, long gone before. Actually, he wanted to take for me to give something. I said, no, I'm not giving. So, but whoever shall save his life shall lose it. If you save, look, the reason why many people don't benefit from this Christian life, is because they are really not Christians. You see? They are, you know that there are people who are in America who are not Americans, illegal citizens, but we've been allowed to stay. But when a time comes, some people can easily route, you know, the way the previous government, I mean, whatever, or different governments, you can easily go. Amen. Please do not let, or this is just an example. You will never be let go in Jesus' name. Amen. But whosoever shall save his life, if the only passport that you have is your old nature, you will lose this new life. You will lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life, that natural life, from this my sake, for Jesus' sake, and for the sake of the gospel, the same shall save it. The life that you thought you were losing, everything you thought you didn't know that there was a better version in the new citizenry, in the new place, in the new identity of Christ. Look, I've learned, you know, the way to speak. There's a better way to speak. You just didn't know in Christ. The way to love. There's a better way to love. You just didn't know. Yeah? You want to be blessed. Money. There is money that's unlimited. God says the silver and the gold, they are mine, saith the Lord. Yeah. It's the truth. However, that thing that we do, trying to juggle the world and Christianity together, a little of the world, a little of Christianity, when it's convenient, you take on your worldly passport. When it's convenient, you come to church, you take on your Christian passport. You just flip it around as if you are a chameleon. A little voodoo, a little occultism, and then a little prayer. You will lose out on both, you see. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall it profit a man? Yeah, the soul is that part that is restored, that is corrected when you get born again. The soul is the part that God gave. Hallelujah. People like to maintain the flesh rather than maintain the soul. Genesis chapter, and what shall a man give? And then verse 37 says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The thing you are trying to preserve, the value of what you are losing is so great. Look, everything you are doing in the world that is keeping you, I can't give up these things to hold on tight to Christ. I am telling you, it is nothing compared to the soul that you are exchanging. What shall you give? What shall a man give? Is it because of girls? Is it because of pornography? Is it because of money? Is it because of pleasure? What is it that is making you hold on so tightly to the worldly you? It's not worth it. If they gave you to become president of the United States, president of all the countries, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Because at the end of the day, how long are you going to live here? Maybe 70 years, by grace, 80. After that, the real life starts. Life is very short compared to eternity, where you will spend your life. A place where you never die again. You will never grow old. You will never grow old. There's no hunger. There's no thirst. Do you know that hunger and thirst is a stimulus to keep this body growing for you to age so that you can die? You can be old enough to die. The things must go. You can keep eating. You can keep all these things. You never grow old, though. You never grow old. The tree of life is dead. You give the tree of life and you live forever. It's the truth. That is what you are trading all this life for. It's not worth it. This 70 years, that is just a drop, a dot. I'm telling you. It's just like the man that, President Clinton almost lost the presidency, his marriage, his family, everything because of a little girl, a little trip, a little tilapia girl. Monica Lewinsky. Yeah. What is it about this girl that Hillary didn't have? that you will trade your presidency, your status, everything. That is how it is, but it's even worse, or is it better? Ladies and gentlemen, this is your soul. Let me tell you, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Today, I'm talking to you about your soul. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Do you know that God didn't intend for us to die? The more man gave up, Satan came, and there was a tree of life. Apart from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there was a tree of life. They ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil by Satan's manipulation. And God took away the tree of life. Said, no, part two will not come. Because your spirit has been corrupted. You cannot continue to live this way. We cannot bring this up in heaven. God was creating another type of, where he himself, God came into the garden and communicated with mankind. In heaven, God is the temple. There's no temple. They communicate freely. They worship with him freely. So there was a version of heaven on earth. Bible says, in the end, when everything is done, the new Jerusalem will be now transported to the earth. We will live the new heaven and the new earth. God will be the temple. So that was what he was creating. But it had to be put on pause because Satan had corrupted everything. He put his breath into our nostrils, the breath of life. Man became a living soul. So when they say your soul, don't just think it is a soul that the old corrupted one. God is talking about your actual soul that is now revived and new. Your soul. How important is that? Now that you are born again, the corruption that Satan took away by Christ, who took away our sins, that restoration has come. It's like chasing the dirt and the vomit. It's like you have been poisoned. Poison was you swallowed poison and then you started vomiting out. They gave you an antiemetic to vomit out the poison, a purgative to get activated charcoal, all these into mop up. You vomited out and you started living. And you went right back to vomit, take the vomiting, to suck the vomiting. Drinking it. Green and brown and, you know, frothy and all that. Nasty. Nasty behavior. That is the kind of life we live when Christ purges us and we go licking the frothy. It looks like poo-poo, diarrhea. And we're taking it back. Drinking it, sucking it. And you put straw on the liquid vomiting. Anytime you go back to your old boyfriend, that's what you're doing. You go back to the pornography, that's what you're doing. To the lies, that's what you're doing. Wow. I shouldn't say it. That's part of your salvation, ladies and gentlemen. So, how important is your soul? That soul, that part of you. Never think your body. This your body is going to go away. You're going to rot. But there's a part of you that will never die. That's the reason why when you sleep, a part of you never sleeps. Did you know that? Yeah, you call it a dream, but it's just your soul active again. Everything you see in your dream, the way you behave is exactly how you would have behaved if you are alive. Yeah, you watch it. It's just your character. You can recognize this person. Even your decisions are decisions you will make if you are alive. It's you. It's not nobody else. It's not a new person that is whatever. Yeah. It is you. That's why you can be dreaming, and you wake up and you are talking into the dream again. You are talking the dream language into your body. Because it was you. You in the dream, you were screaming, give me back my money, give him. And you wake up and someone says, you were saying, give me back my money. You have connected. It's just you. Just entered your body again. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some part of you that will once live. Your body will be lying down, that flesh. And when you speak, give me back my money, you will never enter that body. It's called death. It's just separation. It is the thing, the spirit that is put inside, that is going to come alive again. That is going to come, this time separated. Initially, there was just a body, and God put the spirit in. We called it living soul. At the end also, that's what's going to happen. There will be separation of body, church and state. Separation of body and spirit. It's called death. Yeah. James 2, 26 says, as faith is dead, as the body is dead without the spirit, so is faith dead without works. 2, 26, brother. Says the same thing. Death equals body minus spirit. Life equals body plus spirit. Genesis 2, 7 is life. James 2, 26 is death. That's all. That's all. That's all. How you came in is how you're going to live. What kind of spirit is going to go back to God for judgment? Is it the corrupted spirit that Satan created, or is it the revived, renewed spirit that Christ by his blood permitted you to have afresh, like what God gave? Which passport will you be using at that checkpoint? Which passport? And God, he knows what passport was predominant. You can't sneak. So today I'm talking to you about your soul. Number one, your soul is important because it is the inner man, the real man, who will live forever when the flesh is dead. Wow. Someone say, wow. Oh, I pulled some papers from my pocket. I thought it was money. It's yellow. Anyway, your soul is that important because it is the real man who will live on forever when this flesh is dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, let me read a story to you. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 from verse 19. I've now started preaching, so stop the flag activity over there. Luke chapter 16. Verse 19. I was just introducing the message. I've now started. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 16 from verse 19. Go on. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fed sumptuously. Not he fed, as in he ate. Everybody thought he fed. F-E-D. This is fed. It means he was doing well. He fed, fare well. Not feed well. So he fared, not fed. Fared sumptuous. When your life is sumptuous, it's like, Charlie, good food, good money, good car, good living. I mean, juicy girls. And all kinds of things. Fared some fine linen, purple. Fared sumptuous every day. Every day. Listen, go on. And there's nothing wrong. You can be a Christian and fare sumptuously. May you be a Christian who's faring well in Jesus' name. Ah, and there was a certain, say I receive it. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, ulcers, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and did lick his sores. Lop, 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 lop. You know, when this man didn't have money to go to the hospital for them to dress the wound, so that he hired the dogs. Lick every morning. Lick it, okay? Lick it. I don't have antibiotics. Do you know that dogs' saliva is one of the cleanest? You have never read it before? It's the cleaner than human saliva. No, seriously. I'm not joking about it. That's why people kiss their dogs. Yeah. It's the cleanest. Ask anybody. Go and read it in Google. You see. Now, so this, the dog nurses came and licked the wounds of the beggar. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Everybody, maintain your Christ citizenship with all strength. Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Hold fast to eternal life for which you are called. Hold fast. If it means closing up to that unbeliever, do it. If it means shutting off certain channels, just do it. Fight to hold up. This citizenship of heaven, it will It will be everything. It's not worth anything else. It's not worth anything. Yeah. And this man was carried, and it came to pass that this beggar died. Didn't have the world's goods, but he died knowing God and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom in Jesus' name. And the rich man also died and was buried. No angels. Yeah, you are carrying your Mercedes Benz and everything. We are flying Angel Airlines. Angel Airlines. May you be flown by Angel Airlines on the day you exit here. Nobody will even, what, they would have checked your passport and then carry you. Yeah. Angel. The people will be crying for your funeral, but you'll be enjoying in Angel, a first class Angel Airlines in Jesus' name, where your passport will be intact. You have nothing to do with the world. No dual citizenship. Yeah, Angel Air, first class. They usher you in VIP. It doesn't matter that you're a beggar. And in hell, that rich man lifted his eyes, being in torments. This is Jesus speaking. So in case you didn't believe in hell, this was not Paul, this was not Peter, this was not James, who was just like you. And this is Jesus who came from heaven, left to heaven, as resurrected, told us more, and was taken up. He knows what he's talking about. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. May you be in Abraham's bosom. Yeah. Come on, my baby. Come in my bosom. That's what Abraham did. And he cried. That rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. You should have said it on earth. And send Lazarus. Send Lazarus, because he has passport. That passport is still not transferable. That he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Like that. You see, this water, they gave me a hopeful bottle. But in hell, even one drop like this, you see, very expensive. Very expensive. Rich men can't buy it. Rich men who fed sumptuously on this earth, in heaven, they want a drop, they can't buy. They fed sumptuously, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water like this and cool my tongue. You, is that how you cool your tongue? You look, they gave me a ball. Can you pour my hair? Not just my tongue. Cool myself. And cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Keep going. Look, Christians who are not afraid of sin and of this dual behavior. This is an evangelistic message for you. But Abraham said, son, remember ye thou in your lifetime received the good things of life. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. You call them evil. You call being a believer, oh, it's too much trouble. There's too much restriction. I'm not at liberty to do what I want. What is this that I'm doing? So what you call good things, you receive good things in your lifetime. There are a better version of good things in Christ. Yeah. And Lazarus received what you call evil things. But now he's comforted and you are tormented. Keep going. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence cannot. To you, cannot. People want to pass there. They can't. The passport is one way. A citizenship is a heaven citizen. We don't come to earth to come and evangelize when you die. No, it's over. Whatever you want to do is here. You will do it now. Neither can they pass to us that would even want to come. Yeah, yeah, there's no switch. These fences and these walls that are, you can't jump the wall. There's no wall even to jump. There's a gulf. It's not a wall that you can jump. It's a big gulf long with water. Amen. Next. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Hey, now he's pleading. In fact, let's leave it here. The rest we can go. But let me finish since I've said it. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Keep going. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and they have the prophet, the priests, pastors like me. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into from the dead, they will repent. And Father Abraham said, if you hear, you don't listen to Moses, that means scriptures and the prophets, if preaching from the word does not help you, neither will they be persuaded, even if somebody rose from the dead. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our chance. You have responded to the word, you've kept it. Keep it with all your heart. Your soul is important. What has been preserved is important. If you have to trade something for your soul, it's not worth it. In life, as you can see, this was the life. You could see that their souls outlived their fleshes, if there's anything like that. Their bodies. You could see that their souls were communicating, feeling thirsty, enjoying bosoms, enjoying luxuries, was still continuing in the other side of life. Ladies and gentlemen, souls are the living part of you. Bible says, and God breathed the breath of life or the spirit into the body, and the man became a living soul. What we call soul is God's interaction of the spirit with the body. When we die, God gives us a new body, but the spirit is now eternally pure, and you live forever.
Very
so, ladies and gentlemen, your soul is important. Very important. Keep your soul with all diligence. So that's it. It will outlive. It will outlive. There's a part of you that will keep living. Let's maintain. You dress your body. Today I saw you have done some nice makeup on your face. Have you done some makeup on your spirit? Have you read some word? Have you done some prayer? Have you done some worship? Have you done some maintenance? What about your spirit? You're looking so nice. He said, good, good shepherd. Hey, come home. Bring you back home. The home is heaven. So as you dress up, always ask yourself, have I dressed up my spirit? Have I done my Bible challenge? Have I read my Bible? Have I done some prayer? Have I done worship? Today, I was worshiping in the room. My wife just bumped in after a while. I was so screaming so much. He said, you're having a lot of fun, eh? I said, yes, I'm enjoying. Just with the Lord. Maintenance of the soul. Renewing my passport. Every morning you should renew your passport. See, the woman I told you last time, but I repented this morning. Renew your passport daily. Take up your cross daily is what Jesus said in Luke 9:27. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And the word is take up his cross, Luke 9:27. Take up his cross daily. Yeah. Is that Luke 9:27? Is it? Oh, it's Mark 9:27. 9:27 somewhere. Yeah, what is this? 9:27 or somewhere. Okay, Luke 9:23. Check Luke 9:23. Uh-huh. But they said, take your cross daily. It's somewhere. Cross daily. Anyway, check it. I think it's Luke 9:23, but I'm not sure. It's correct, right? Yeah, but they are not bringing it up. But that's what it says, Luke 9:23. Bring it up. Anyway, they are slow. But it's true. You see here? And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to know that the soul is important. That's why we need to win souls to Christ. Win them over. Give them new passport. That is why the outreaches are important. God bless you, those of you who brought new people to church, who brought people to get new passports. May the Lord reward you. May the Lord bless you. People who don't believe in other people renewing their soul, often they are not born again. Often. But there are many born again too who don't care about others. Number two, To gain the whole world is to gain all wealth, money, fame, popularity, acclaim, honors of the world. You know, I mean, he said that what is the use gaining the whole world and losing your own soul? And let me give you one. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 from verse 15. If I even do just these two, I'll be okay. And he said unto him, take heed and beware of covetousness. That means clutching at things that you don't have. Everything, you know, the way that people are covetous. I need to have this dress. I need to have this money. I need to have this man. I need to have this woman. I need to have this buttock. I need to have this breast. I need to have this movie. I need to have this house. I need to have this man. I need to have this biceps. Covetous. Covetous. Take heed and beware of covetous. You know, as you clasp at things, clasp at spiritual things as well. I need to have Jesus. I need to have the anointing upon this man of God. I need to have this Christian book. It's preaching from how you can preach salvation. I need to have this book. I need to be in this church. I need to know the word. I need to stop this boyfriend, girlfriend. I need to marry. I need to do the right thing. I need to honor my parents. Rather, let those things be clasping and you have a beautiful... Look, everything you have in the world, there's a better version. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Look, did you know that everything that you have, you're going to leave it here? Sammy, the new car, the new houses you buy, when you marry your grandchildren, Sammy, loved them, they're all going to be left here, man. Covetousness. Your soul will carry nothing. That sumptuous, even his, that man, his drinks didn't go. Even water drop didn't go with him. His purple and fine linen didn't go with him. Tormented. They couldn't stand the fire. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the truth. And look, don't joke with it. Every bad boy, even the way you talk to your parents, there's a nicer way to talk to them in Christ. And that will earn you favor with them. You feel you're big and bad, so you can be tall and stand over, you step over your parents. And say, yeah, there's a better way, a nicer way that Christ has given. That's what we are teaching. A man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things he possesses. Don't let a car define you. Don't let your body looks define you. You're beautiful, but no, that's important. How beautiful is your soul? Your soul is important. That's the topic. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of what he has on this earth. Now, look at the story, verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Look, there's nothing wrong with being rich. Don't get this. It is the timing of the riches. The Bible says that it is difficult for a rich man to enter the heaven. It's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. So if you are rich, it's very difficult to enter heaven. Let me tell you the secret. Become born again before you become rich. Clap for the Lord. You don't need a needle. You are already, the camels are struggling. Is a rich man struggling? He says, for a rich man to enter I'm already in the kingdom, and if I'm rich, no problem. I'm in the kingdom already. Yeah. That's the best way. To be rich and in the kingdom. And to use your riches to serve the kingdom purposes. So when you hear these scriptures, it's very difficult for a rich man to enter. It's more difficult for a rich man to enter heaven than for a camel to enter the eye of a needle. See, then how is it possible? You try and win a rich man's soul before. Try. Go to New York and people on Wall Street and you say, hey, I'm bringing tracks. Give your life to Jesus. They may even arrest you. No, that's the truth. It's very difficult for rich people who are very rich to be told, they made it. What do I need Christ for? That's what they will tell you. It's very difficult. That's why the gospel is for the poor. Yeah. That's why preach the gospel to the poor. Because the rich man, it's very difficult. But the point that I'm making is, as you can see, there are rich men in the place by the grace of God. There are rich women in this place by the grace of God. But we're in the kingdom. Say, I'm a rich man. I am a believer who's rich. Look, I'm already in the kingdom. So the same way that it's difficult to enter the kingdom through the eye, it's also difficult to reverse through the eye to the world. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It's the same needle. We can reverse it. It's very difficult for me being in the kingdom and rich. If I am rich and still humble enough to stay in the kingdom, very difficult to go back. If you see a rich man who's really, really a born again, it's very difficult to backslide. Because they have seen it all and have it all. But they still can kneel down and lie prostrate and worship. It's very difficult for a rich man who's born again to backslide. Very difficult. Very difficult. Very, very difficult. Yeah, and I'm not poor. By the grace of God. It's very difficult. If you really are in Christ, you are rich and you are in Christ. It's very difficult. Because in spite of how the man is speaking, you are still sustaining it and staying. Reverse that scripture for yourself. That I'll stay in the kingdom and become rich, and I will the way I'll operate, it will be very difficult for me to backslide, because I know who brought me where I am. I know who brought me the finances. I know who made me who I am. So never because of that say, I'm going to be poor because I want to be in the kingdom. Never say that. That's foolishness. You will never be poor in Jesus' name. And you will never backslide in Jesus' name. Look at this guy. And he said, a rich man, his fields got, bring it back. Luke chapter 12. We are about to close. If that's all I can say, it will be good. Luke 12, verse 16 again. And he speak a parable in this wise. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater ones. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. If it was a proper Christian rich man, he said, I'll build a church. I'll build. Where is it? They said $10,000 churches. I'll build one. Community churches, community chapels, I'll build one. Yes. Orphanage, cathedrals, I'll build one. Look, if you want to build a church, it's $10,000. Some of the church members have already built $10,000 church chapels for communities. We are building them for people to be there. And it's $63,000 for a cathedral. Build one. Don't be like this man. You just put it away. God will give you money. $63,000 will be nothing to you in Jesus' name. Yeah. And he said, I'll build and put. He'll say, and then I'll build new ones. I'll pull down the old ones and build. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, foolish boy. Verse 20. And be merry. Verse 20. And God said unto this man, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou provided? So it is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Hallelujah. Wow. So the question is, how rich are you toward God? Tonight, that's the question. So is he who is rich in this world, but is not rich towards God. That's what I told you. The secret is, if you are rich in this world, make sure you are rich towards God. This will never affect you. How rich are you can be the other title for this message. How rich are you? How rich are you towards God? How rich are you towards God? Ladies and gentlemen, let's not trade. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? What is it that's preventing you from retaining that soul that God has given you, the spiritual aspect of you? And what is it that is preventing us from giving these people this kind of privilege? Today, think about it. Your soul is important. It is a path that will live on. It is a path that when you are dressing your flesh, dress your soul. Keep your soul, sustaining your soul. Keep it, feed it, Do everything possible and let's make sure that other people have this preserved soul, the soul that has the breath of God, the spirit of God, the new born again spirit that keeps our bodies ready for rapture, ready for death, ready for life in the other side. Ready! Are your relatives ready for the other side? When the rapture comes, will their soul be this kind of soul? When the rapture comes, what is it that you give people? You give people the food, the clothes, the everything. When will you give them what will revive their soul? What do you give them? You give people money. You give people. Anytime I find a beggar and I give money, I also add Jesus Christ to it. What is it that you are giving? Let's begin to give people the soul. And you yourself, make sure you are there. May the Lord help us. And when we talk about souls to bring to church, as this week and this month is the month of soul winning, let's also think about ourselves and think about our relatives. May the Lord bless us and may we value our souls. May we deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus. Put your hands together and rise to your feet. Wow. You will never backslide in Jesus' name. When the devil comes and tells you, why are you going to church again? Say, I am here to revive my soul. When you wake up and you say, this time I'm going to sleep, ask yourself that in this same way, are you going to deny your flesh of food today? If you won't, then don't deny your soul of fellowship. Don't. Sunday service is one of the best ways to sustain and to revive your soul. Never stop it. You see that people that are very regular in services, like this message I gave you, it will keep you and sustain you. Iron sharpeneth iron. Put your hand on your heart and let's pray. Father, deliver me from backsliding. Deliver me. Father, may I value the soul. What can I gain? What can I give in exchange for my soul? I will never exchange my soul for anything. What is the use if I gain the whole world and lose my soul? If I gain job opportunities, if I gain promotion at work, if I get all the best grades and I have abandoned my soul, what is it? What have I gained? If I get all the boyfriends and I abandon my soul, if I do all the sleeping on Sunday morning such that I don't go to church anymore, what have I done? If I become the most intellectual, the best student in my class, but I've lost my soul, then what's the use? Will I not become the man who fed sumptuously, fed academically sumptuously, fed financially sumptuously, but had nothing when it mattered the most? What is it that's keeping you away from Christ, from this beautiful life? There is a version of whatever is replacing what Christ gave us. May we seek after Christ and the things of Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, if you are here, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, or you want to rededicate your soul to Christ, there's nothing wrong. And I will recommend that everybody does that. That I am rededicating my life. I am being born again today. Even if I thought I was one, I want to be sure that I'll not get to a place where now I have to beg for a drop of water. So speak to God now and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm back fully. Wherever I was falling short, I am back. I am revived. Lord, take me back. Lord, restore my position. Father, every place where the spirit, the breath of life you put in me was draining and becoming less and less, I pray for a refill, a revival in the name of Jesus Christ. Help me, Jesus, and help your children. Shall we all say this prayer? Almighty Father, say it with conviction. Almighty Father, I value the soul you gave me. I want the Christ life with the breath of life from you. Not the corrupted soul, but the revived by the blood of Jesus Christ. I repent of all my sins. Please forgive me for all my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ and give me a fresh spirit. Renew your fresh spirit with me. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, as my Lord, who died for me because He loved me. please write my name in the book of life and restore my soul in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Wow. Weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Zoom at meeting ID 934-809-4313 or in person at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.